tired of me calling on her phone. I've got no time to be alone. Summer coming at me all the time. You better think I lose my mind. Cause I'm stranded on my own.
All right, here we are on CITR Radio. This is Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show, back for another week. Friday night in Vancouver, around 6 p.m. The show streams online, of course, on CITR.ca. Thanks so much to the news team, as always. Cutting edge news from some very bright people here. Wonderful team at CITR Radio. And this is a show that's broadcast weekly, all about Australian and Canadian music. So what I do is I play music that I knew growing up back home, or that I'm curious about now that I never heard about growing up, and I dig back into the past, and also fresh new sounds and interviews. And today is no exception. I have two interviews actually today, which came up, two people I did not know existed in the world until just last weekend, when I was sitting in a cafe on Broadway, an Our Town Cafe at Broadway and Kingsway, a wonderful little social hub. And I was just minding my business on my laptop doing some audio editing, and a gentleman named Steve peered over and was curious about the program I was using. I told him it was Audacity. And he just started to tell me about what he does, because he works in music. Specifically, he's a music publisher. His name is Steve Thompson, and he is a locally based music publisher. And I instantly was fascinated by what he started to tell me about the world of music publishing and administration for independent artists. So we recorded an interview a few days later on the phone, and you're going to hear that today. So it's a little bit different. We're talking about what's behind music, and any independent artist now, really, as far as Steve's concerned, should be thinking about music administration, getting your paperwork in order so that SOCAN, the body here in Canada, can make sure you get paid for things like live performance and, of course, radio too. And to give yourself a chance to get TV placements or film spots or anything. The whole point is that these days, there's so many independent artists that being aware of your rights is highly important. It's no longer a case that a record company will just feed you, shelter you, give you everything, make you look good and look after you for 5 years. So music publishing and administration is something there in the background that it's wise for any independent artists really trying to push themselves to look into. So today we have that interview with Steve Thompson. He's going to tell us what that is, what a music publisher does, a little bit about what SOCAN does. And then I'll also have an interview with a local hip-hop artist named Miss Echo One. She was in the cafe too, and I started to chat with her, and she had a few things, interesting things to say as well about this whole issue. She's quite savvy and aware that dotting the I's and crossing the T's is important, and at the same time supporting your fellow artists to understand things like this. So it was really interesting to speak with her. You'll hear that interview as well in today's show. So we have an interview with Steve Thompson, music publisher, and local Vancouver hip-hop artist Miss Echo One. So that's coming up later on, but let's start out with going back to Midnight Oil. It's good to revisit, you know, these classic great bands from Australia every now and then and pull out a different album. And this time I'm going to go to, well, a couple of records. First up, let's go back to 1984 with the Red Sails in the Sunset record. I want to play for you a couple of non-singles. Or maybe, actually, let's see. I'm going to play for you I'm going to play for you from this record, Best of Both Worlds, which might have been a single actually, but it's just a damn good song. It was. And the second track is going to be an album-only track called... what do we got here? It's going to be called Jimmy Sharman's Boxes. And then I'm going to play for you a couple of tracks from the Earth, Sun and Moon record, which came out a few years later. So, Red Sails in the Sunset by Midnight Oil was released in October 1984 on Columbia Records. And it was recorded in Tokyo, Japan, interestingly enough. It became a number one album in Australia and even actually scraped the bottom of the US Billboard 200. And it's a real political album, of course, all Midnight Oil albums are. But it's, you know, the hard-hitting songwriting dealing with issues of the world that we were very used to from... Peter Garrett and Co. Anyway, let's get into the music. This is Midnight Oil from the Red Sails and the Sunset album, going back to 1984. And the song you're going to hear first up is Best of Both Worlds.
We got the best of both worlds. Hello, this is Tony Bardock of the Pointed Sticks, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
We'll be right back. Thursday, April 25th at UBC's Chan Center for the Performing Arts, it's Taj Mahal and Shamikia Copeland. Composer, multi-instrumentalist, and vocalist Taj Mahal is one of the most prominent and influential figures in late 20th century blues and roots music. His artistic scope represents virtually every corner of the world: West Africa, the Caribbean, Latin America, Europe, the Hawaiian Islands, and so much more. Shamikia Copeland is the daughter of blues legend Johnny Copeland. Her powerful voice is guaranteed to raise your spirits. Tickets are on sale at the Chan Center box office, High Life Records, and Rufus's Guitar Shop.
This is CITR Radio 101.9 FM, Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show. You can follow us on Twitter at OzStranded, and also online, ozstrandedradio.com. Lots of great information there with podcasts, set lists of each show, contact details. Please get in touch if you'd like to say hi, or you've got some music you'd like me to play, or you just have music recommendations, anything. Always love to hear from people. So that was Midnight Oil, going back to 1984 with two songs off the record Red Sails and the Sunset. Great record. Here's online, a Rolling Stone journalist said that the album combines the post-punk abrasiveness of The Clash and Gang of Four with the Kinks' music hall variety and the pure pop of groups like Cheap Trick. Damn good mix, really, of sounds there. And of course, with the political edge, lots of references to Australian, you know, local issues and politics, history, which, you know, the specifics of which lyrically people may not quite pick up on if they're from elsewhere, like here in North America. But undeniably, the sounds that Midnight Oil created were always just so powerful. So, 1984, then the next record was an EP called Species to Species, which I've never actually listened to that one. But a few records on, they had a record called Earth, Sun and Moon, which came out in 1993. So I thought I'd play a couple of tracks from this one because I picked this up at a secondhand shop just on the weekend. So in the past we've played Truganini. We've already played that song, which is awesome, but we've played that in a prior podcast, so I don't want to play it again. So let's pick the title track, Earth, Sun and Moon, and another track called Outbreak of Love. Okay, here it is. This is Midnight Oil. 1993 was the year, and the release was called Earth, Sun and Moon. I wish you could see this.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
Welcome back to CITR Radio, Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show. My name is Matt. The familiar sounds there of Peter Garrett on vocals for Midnight Oil. That song there was a song called Outbreak of Love, written by drummer Rob Hurst of the band, who was really the strongest songwriter in the group, that's pretty well acknowledged. So the album was Earth, Sun and Moon and came out on the 20th of April 1993 on Columbia Records. So there you go. I hope you enjoyed that, digging into the past a little bit as we do each week before moving on into the fresh, brand new music. And here's a really exciting thing that just popped up that I wouldn't have expected. So Gurumul Yurupingu, the amazing, absolutely extraordinary Aboriginal singer-songwriter from Australia who we've featured before, blind from birth, beautiful voice and stunning songs. He's, you know, become well known around the world, and even more so now thanks to a really interesting remix that's been put out by somebody. So this is what you're going to hear is called it's called Yolanda Be Cool. I guess that's the artist, Yolanda Be Cool, featuring Gurumul, and it's called the song that they've called it A Baru in New York, featuring Gurumul, Flume soundtrack version. Let's play this for you now. It's always, you know, it's risky remixing such a, you know, traditional, you know, singer-songwriter with the guitar, and he's such a unique, extraordinary talent. It's risky, I guess, to mess with that, but, this sounds pretty cool, I guess. So this somehow was brought together, all three artists, Gurumul, Yolanda Be Cool, and Flume. So there's three of them, I guess, that collaborated. And it's really been seen as a real bridge between Indigenous and non-Indigenous music, which is kind of a throwback to the Yothu Yindi, of course, in 1991. Yothu Yindi was the first big Australian Aboriginal act that was kind of remixed, made into dance tracks, their music, and it became, like, really big. So we'll see what happens with this song. But anyway, so let's play it for you now. This is Yolanda Be Cool, featuring Gurumul, and it's the Flume remix.
What have we got now?
Ah!
So there you have it. Really innovative sounds there. Yolanda Be Cool featuring Gurumul. Gurumul, of course, is the Northern Territory Aboriginal artist who is very well known for his beautiful songs, deeply affecting music, and him being blind from birth. The song is called A Baru in New York. A Baru, it means saltwater crocodile. And apparently this was leaked to SoundCloud last Friday and picked up 150,000 streams in less than a week. From what I can tell, so it's a three-artist collaboration. So the original song, I guess, was written between Gurumul and a gentleman named Yolanda Be Cool, and then somebody by the name of Flume came along and remixed the song. So, interesting. So that's out there, and it's available on iTunes. Really, really great stuff there. Okay, so I'll be right back.
I'm Peter Mansbridge, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
So at the start of the show, I mentioned that I had two interviews lined up with two interesting people I met at a cafe on Main Street, the Our Town Cafe. Well, actually just off Main, actually Broadway and Kingsway to be precise. First up is Steve Thompson. He is a music publisher. So this is really interesting. We're going to hear a bit about the administration, what happens behind the scenes for independent musicians these days, because, you know, it's a changed world. It's not really about scoring the big record deal, you know, that one shot, your big chance and being looked after. It's people, artists having to work really hard themselves as an independent entity, but also helping each other. And that's what the second interview will be focused on. A wonderful hip-hop artist by the name of Miss Echo One. She's going to be talking about her experiences around this kind of stuff and collaborating with people and helping other artists understand that that it's important to get your paperwork in check so that SoCan knows who you are, and you can get paid for things, you know, for performing or even, you know, radio play and things like that. So SoCan is the governing music body, and SoCan members get royalties when their music is performed on radio, TV, at concerts, in films, bars, all over the place. So it's a performing rights organization, really. And Steve Thompson is a music publisher, and he works for Vancouver Records. So let's play that interview that I recorded with him. How Steve is really candid and open about what the world of music publishing is all about, and how artists can benefit by really looking into it. Okay, so we are here on Stranded, the Australian Canadian Music Show, and today I have a special guest, Steve Thompson, who is a music publisher of Vancouver Records here in Vancouver. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Matt.
Thanks so much for finding time today. We had a chance meeting at a cafe on Broadway, and I was just instantly fascinated by the work that you do relating to administration in the world of music. I guess firstly, Steve, we'll just start with what your actual job title is. Like, what is a music publisher?
Well, I think that's a really big thing to do with quite a number of things. In Canada, it seems right now what's going on is mainly working through SOCAN, because like independency to do with music is kind of new, really, in the way of there are just so many of us, and the idea that the large companies really aren't developing artists anymore. So basically, I try and do mostly organization to do with membership of the society and whatever necessary paperwork that has to do with that. And beyond that is things that the society works through or with, right? So different parts of the government to do with whatever grants and loans and that kind of stuff.
Hmm. And when we're talking about the society, we're talking about SOCAN, which is the governing body of the Canadian music industry?
Well, it's more the rights organization. So in Canada, the focus in copyright is performance rights because of independency, right? So it comes back to individuals. So and that's basically what they do is collect the information and distribute.
Which means information about radio plays and also live shows. Those
and
are the two.
Television main. And.
Okay, and television, radio.
Yeah, but there's still two sides to that. There's private and public.
Okay, can you explain a bit more about that?
SOCAN, I guess, is basically responsible for the public data. And then there's another faction, Nielsen's Broadcast Data System, which is responsible for private. So private stations.
Okay, so if CBC played music, that's public. If a commercial radio...
Yeah, CBC happens to be like in a category of their own in public, yeah.
Okay, and obviously our station, CITR Radio, would be public.
That's right, yeah. So you're licensing, right?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so a savvy artist really would be signing up to be a member of SOCAN and paying attention to where they're being played and how many shows they're playing and getting credit for those, logging them actually officially, shows.
Well, the radio thing is scanned and censored, as you might know.
Yep.
So meaning now it's just an automatic system of a couple kinds. But the show part and the television and movies, yeah, that involves other areas, right?
Right.
Cue sheets in television and movies, that's often my responsibility to make sure that ends up at SOCAN. It's not my direct responsibility, but for the artist, I'm the person that has to prompt, to bring it up, make sure that it's understood that it needs to be submitted, because that's when the rights are available.
Right, I see.
The information's at SOCAN. And often production companies of television or movies... Somehow it all depends whose responsibility it is really to fill it out. So in a lot of cases with a publisher in the loop, then that way that's what's going on for you as the artist, as your publisher is making sure.
I'm clear on that with movies and TVs. How about with live shows? Do you, is it your responsibility to interact with venue owners?
Oh, absolutely not.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
There's an existing system that's already set. And it basically has to do with the owner of the establishment, their license, the tariff that they pay to use music in the way that it's live or being presented or anything other than radio, right, and satellite, because as you know, you guys already pay the license.
That's right. Okay, and so then, so if you are registered with SOCAN, then every time you play a live show, that is logged somehow.
Well, there are a lot of stipulations as to how or which shows qualify. So often that's another thing that an artist might not really know. The common knowledge in that area seems to be the $6 cover or more. So the door charge. being $6 or more. That's the regular common stipulation that most artists should be aware of by now. But, of course, there's a lot more to it.
Here we are on CITR Radio, Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show. And that was a gentleman named Steve Thompson of Vancouver Records. He is a music publisher. So he was telling us all about SOCAN, and he speaks for the rights of the individual artist, the independent artist, and of course, most artists these days are independent in the music world. You know, the times have changed. It's not about sitting around waiting for the big shot, the deal. It's about working hard and making sure that your paperwork's in, and that's where a music publisher can really come in and help. So that's really cool to find out about this part of it. I hadn't thought much about this until just speaking to Steve, and it's definitely worth checking out SOCAN. SOCAN represents the Canadian performing rights of millions of Canadian and international music creators and publishers. Through licenses, SOCAN gives businesses that use music the freedom to use any music they want legally and ethically. That's all off the SOCAN website. I just read SOCAN.ca. And of course, we have here at the station, we log all our music, so SOCAN becomes aware of what we're playing. And so if you are registered with SOCAN, then you're on the books. They know that your song was played here at CITR Radio. If you're not registered, nothing happens. That's the point that Steve's trying to make. And up next, we have part two of that interview. And following that is an interview with Echo, Miss Echo One, a Vancouver hip-hop artist who's also weighing in her opinion about music administration and why it's important for all artists. Here it is. This is part two of my interview with Steve Thompson, Vancouver-based music publisher. Over time, too, you're saying in your role as a music publisher, getting a relationship with an artist, you can help facilitate larger bodies of money like grants as well.
I think the SOCAN part of grants is more, to me it seems like, don't quote me on this, seems like more of a verification of information. So if there is information there, SOCAN might be a place where some body handing out money might need to check if you are who you're saying you are, right? Yeah.
Okay, and that's really what we were talking about in the cafe, about having an administrator enables you to have that legitimacy and so that there's a trail of your...
Yeah, it's the I's and T's, you know, the dotting and the crossing, and the numbers that appears behind things like song titles and your actual name.
That's another question I had then about actual ownership of a song and its lyrics and things like that. If I wrote a song and I wanted to make sure nobody copied it and took it and made a whole bunch of money, what would I do?
Well, it's 2013, so apparently last I heard, once you've done that, and especially in any kind of commercial way, it just is in a larger part of the sense. So it's pretty hard for someone else to just kind of take it.
And in terms of a band, if one person is writing, you know, the lyrics and the melody and primarily most of the songs, is there usually contracts or agreements with the other musicians where the songwriter retains most of the royalties and things like that?
I think with every band it would be different, because every person that's a songwriter somehow might have a different way of sharing or including. So it becomes individual, and most bands, I think, if they really want to be a unit somehow, they often just share equally, right? So, and I think that's changing more. More people are starting to realize the idea of sharing is going to help them more than, you know. And it's the same for the idea of trying to protect your song. I think that's changed to where now it's more the focus is on exposing it.
Because, as you said, it's a changed world now.
Oh, technology, right?
Which gives individuals a lot of power they didn't normally have before.
Yeah, and it's all that footprint.
Yeah, and I mean, it does seem like a very positive time to be making music in that sense. In Canada specifically, I know you mentioned that for some reason Canada seems to be a little bit better than other countries at the moment for performers' rights.
Well, I don't think it's a little bit better. I somehow recognize it as being a lot better. Like, I think the last time I noticed it, money-wise, in the way of all the rights organizations in the world, SOCAN doubled the second. Yeah, so, and I think someone like yourself, you know, the way you're thinking and your program that you've put together, integral to what's going on right now, because information has to get out.
Yeah.
Like, even things like as simple as members of SOCAN, existing members, sometimes maybe they need to hear that they have to turn in their notification of live music performance forms, right? Often I hear people telling me, oh, yeah, they do that once a year, but it's a quarterly thing. So then how do you explain to them they need to do that once at least every 3 months?
Okay.
So then they even have to figure out which 3 months they're working in, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not a, you know, easy, straightforward thing, or else I guess all 111,000 members of SOCAN would be active members as opposed to just members, right?
Oh, I see. Okay, so a lot of people just sign up once and then they just kind of forget about what that was all about.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with misinformation. I think there's a lot of people that just naturally assume that SOCAN does all this work for you. Mm. And there is a thing called New Members Department. So often, after 10 years, you might have seen a check or two. So that would have been after the first year. So the New Members Department tries within the first year of whatever for new members. And then after that, basically, you have to really do it yourself. And even before, like within that first year, if you're doing it yourself, all that does is just puts you in a great position to, you know, basically get yours, right?
Yeah, it just seems like you're strengthening yourself as an individual, paying attention to... I mean, it's a whole conversation that I've never had before, is finally enough about this in a rights-based approach, but why not, of course.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
This is CRTR Radio. You can find this show on Twitter at OzStranded and also online, OzStrandedRadio.com. Great blog with podcasts and lots of other nifty info. This podcast will be up soon. And that was part two of my interview with Steve Thompson. He is a music publisher based in Vancouver. And he was informing us today about music publishing and artists' rights. So get your paperwork in. Talk to a music publisher. One woman who agrees with that is Miss Echo One. She is a Vancouver-based hip-hop artist. And I wanted to get her opinion, too, on what this is all about. She has had very positive interactions with Steve, and she's seen the benefit in and having that administrative work handled really appropriately, so she can get on with what she does, which is make beautiful music and collaborate with people. And she's also going to speak about that very issue too, collaborating, being open and supportive of other musicians in the community. So here we go. This is Miss Echo One, Vancouver-based hip-hop artist. Her real name is Adriana, and let's hear from her now. Okay, so I'm talking with Adriana Deparquel, And Adriana is a local hip-hop artist. She performs under the name of Miss Echo One in the hip-hop scene of Vancouver. Hello, Adriana.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you. It's really a pleasure to talk with you. I hadn't met you until a week ago. We met randomly in a cafe along with Steve, who we're broadcasting the interview of. He is a music publisher. And you were there with Steve, and you had some interesting things to say, too, about the music world. And I really wanted to follow up with that. First up, what can you tell us about yourself as an artist and your music?
So I'm a local artist. I was born in New York. I was raised in Vancouver most of my life, but I've also been well-traveled, Italian-Brazilian background. But basically, my music is very influenced by my culture. My parents, I grew up listening to Brazilian jazz my whole life. So it's hip-hop, but it's with a lot of soul and a little bit of samba edge to it. Also, I'm definitely influenced by a lot of pop artists. I have a large range of fanship in terms of my age range of fanship is from everywhere to really young all the way up to older people. So I've kind of been blessed. I've been blessed that way. There's no real, you know, type of person that likes my music. It's kind of a broad range of fans.
Quite universal.
Yeah, it's really universal. People come up to me of all different kinds of races and backgrounds. But I mostly was playing on the street. To be honest, I started off doing a lot of work during the Olympics. And my friend of mine and I, Jake Berlin, we were playing music out on the Granville Street Strip. And yeah, there was a lot of really nice people that came up to us. There was little kids breakdancing. There was, like, a lot of sponsorship by other companies that wanted us to play out front of their stores. Just a lot of excitement, and it was a beautiful time in my life, you know? But, yeah, overall, the music that I listen to, a lot of it is everything from, like, Rihanna to more, like, roots, rock, reggae, like, everything from... you know, Jay-Z to Kanye. Like, I like a lot of mainstream artists, but I also like some underground artists. Like, I like a lot of Tribe Called Quest and things like that. Aaliyah, definitely heavily influenced from a lot of female artists that I listen to.
I guess you're quite embedded in the hip hop scene. Like, where do you play, you know, week to week and things like that?
Recently, we just played a show at the Calabash, which was really great. That was with Mr. Fantastic and the Ja Request Band. And then we also did a show up at the Layback Lounge in Harrison Hot Springs, which was awesome. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, I definitely want to revisit some of those places and come back too. But overall, my focus is going out towards Toronto, Montreal, and New York over the next couple months and just trying to spread the joy, spread the joy of music, and enjoy life.
Stride as you're walking by a reflection.
Those are the sweet sounds there of Vancouver-based hip-hop artist Miss Echo One. And we heard the little short little introduction where we chatted about who she is, what her music is. But let's get into the meaty part of the interview where Miss Echo One weighs in on her opinion about music publishing and how important it is to have someone on your team who's helping you with that. If you're you're serious independent artist and you're aware of your rights, and you want to make the best shot of it that you can. And the best thing about this chat, you're also going to hear Adriana, a.k.a. Miss Echo One, really graciously talk about how it's important to support your fellow artists in the community. And she's really keen to educate people formally and informally about this issue. Okay, here he is. This is part two of my interview with Miss Echo One, hip-hop artist from Vancouver. And speaking of that, what I was really intrigued to follow up with you on was your thoughts about collaboration in the world of music and helping other artists. You know, there seems to be some people have a notion that artists are meant to just be self-absorbed or doing their own thing to the exclusion of others. But it seems like that's an outdated paradigm right now. Would you agree?
I totally agree. So that's the way we would say is that's what's up, you know. And the lingo has changed and everybody's kind of got their own idea of what's up. But that's what's up for me is I work with a lot of people that I love, but overall trying to get everybody onto the same page is a challenge. Everyone seems to have an idea of what they're doing, being progressive. But what happens is that if they're just focused on recording and making the music, that's great and that's all wonderful. But getting the music actually to a point where it's going to be published properly is a difficult place to get to. It's just because everyone has the idea that they already know what it is. Like, to go to sign yourself up to SoCan, you can become what's called an inactive member, which is just you fill out your own paperwork and you submit it. But to become an active member, somebody like an actual administration company has to do your paperwork for you. Hmm. And that's the difference of becoming an active member. Becoming an active member is puts you in a pile of paperwork that is much smaller that gets addressed daily. And also what it does is that it makes it so that your music is going to be heard on places like the radio, TV, and other things like that more readily. Hmm. Whereas everyone seems to think they already have it hooked up, but that's the problem, is trying to explain that to them. It becomes a problem with the egos, and it's always like they get the idea that you're trying to get something out of them. But in the end, 0% of $100 is zero. 50% of 50 or $100 is 50. So that's the difference we're looking at there, is basically these people like Steve that are administrators, they're trying to help. They're trying to help out with the artists, because the artists don't know that they're missing money. Their names might even come up in catalogs that they don't even understand happen daily. Like if their name is up on bills, it comes up daily that their name is on there. But it's a wasted resource, basically. Like it's like a blank spot in the paperwork for the person who isn't getting registered. So if artists like that, for example, I have about 35 different MCs that I really love and I know personally through just doing shows and stuff through the network. My idea is to like get everybody to throw in $100 each, even if it's just to put on our own show, and we do our own block party and we register everybody's name so that every one of us gets our SoCan checks. And eventually, that means that essentially within about a year, once the paperwork starts processing, all of us, no matter where we are, will be getting direct deposits into our bank accounts for shows that we're doing.
So you don't have a few people down the road going, oh, geez, I should have, you know, half of us didn't, half didn't. And
half of them don't ask for the help or don't want the help. The other half just don't know because they don't understand. And then what happens is that years later, when an artist like myself is doing well, I've got my EP coming out. It's called What's Really Good. You know, when I've got my EP coming out, it's going to be coming to places like Zulu Records, High Life, places like that, where it's going to be popping up. Friends of mine that I've tried to explain this to are going to be wondering why their careers aren't going anywhere and why mine might be going somewhere, hopefully, right? Like, and it's a shot in the dark, because you never know how many fans you got until you try, right? Like you could have 100, you could have 1,000,000. You just got to try and see what happens. But in the end, it's like keeping it humble and trying to explain things to people becomes very frustrating, and it starts to be a waste of time for me to even try. So I just try to explain as much as I can to the people that I'm close to, and just tell them, look, I'm honestly trying to do you guys a favor, and it's not because I'm so great. It's nothing like that. It's just that I happen to know somebody who is a publisher, and that's a rare person. That there's only like two in the entire Lower Mainland, you know, and that's someone like Steve. So when we talk about that, if anybody has emails that they want to send in requests to understanding more, they could go to the email, go to Dead Level Dead Straight is the name of the company, is the name of the company. But if you're an artist and you have a question and you want to ask me a question about it, then you can go to my email, which is homebase.vancouver.records@gmail.com. And that's me expanding my label, because my record label is finally become official.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are wanting to be on board with my label, then I'm happy to pass them along the information to just get in touch, because it's pretty simple. It's not as complicated as it seems. I mean, like when it comes down to it, anybody I work with, I have to have a production agreement with from now on, and that's a very standard thing that just protects our rights basically. Hmm. So if I have a basic production agreement and somebody says, hey, I'd really like to work with you, and I say, okay, we get this agreement, we sign off on it, then we work together as long as we want to work. And there's never any talk about it ever again. It's a one-time agreement. It's not like you're pulling out contracts all the time and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's kind of the part that scares a lot of my friends off and people I know, is when you talk about the word contract, and they don't want to get involved with friendship and a contract. When it comes down to it, it's protecting both rights of the person so that there's no argument and that the agreement on the music is already there before you start making it. You don't want to do it backwards where you make the music and then you try to agree upon it, because that can cause a lot of problems.
Because once the agreement is made, then you can relax into the process and let the creativity flow,
exactly.
Which is what it's really all about. It's you know, that's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly, yeah. So this is something that is going to take time for people to understand. Overall, like, what might happen is years might pass and then they realize it after. And after they've made years of music, they're going to realize that they should have been doing this from the beginning, and then they're going to kick themselves for not doing it in the beginning. So it's really, a lot of it is a matter. You got to let people just learn it on their own. I can try just like this, like doing something like this makes sense. I can always post the link up and tell some of the youth that I work with to check it out, right, and see what they say.
Well, thanks. It's very gracious of you, Adrienne, to be open about it and to genuinely want to support others. So thanks for sharing today.
For sure. Well, thanks for listening and having me on the show.
Yeah, no problem.
I'd love to come and sing something live for you. Maybe next time on Friday, I'll come and pay UBC a visit, see what's up.
That'd be wonderful.
All right. So okay. That's what's really good.
music, drumming, dance, transformation, an expression of the heart through voice, the heart opening to love, channeling of intention, kirtan community, yoga culture, bhakti, ancient traditions, modern environment, intentional community, the continuation of story, the ever-evolving mythology, reconnecting with the divine through voice, through song, through mantra, an exploration of chanting. Join us every Thursday at 4 p.m. on CATR 101.9 FM for Mantra. Or check us out on the web at mantraradio.co.
Hello there, my name is Matt. I'm hosting Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show at this hour, or hour and a half, each week from 6 to 7.30pm on CITR Radio. And not too much longer of the show left. That song there was by a wonderful young lady here in the city of Vancouver who operates in the hip-hop scene. Her name is Miss Echo One. That's E-K-K-O, if you're looking for her online. Miss Echo One, she has a little a spot there on CBC. The CBC site has tracks that you can download, listen online. And also her website is echo1love.com, so E-K-K-O-1-love.com. And I'm going to do my best to have Echo come into the show to do a live set. She's really keen to come in. So that was a little wrap-up of the special today on music publishing. Independent artists, it pays in the long run to be aware of your rights. And SoCan is a place where you can get lots more information, of course, socan.ca, the body that looks after the performing rights of music creators in the country of Canada. Not long to go on the show. Let's play for you now some artists who are playing around Vancouver this weekend. You still have time to get out tonight. I'm going to play for you two bands. I guess you have a choice. You can see one or the other. They're both great, both local bands. So first up, Wise a Fool. Great, great rock and roll. They're playing at the Astoria tonight. So I'm going to play for you a Wise a Fool track. Off their debut self-titled record. And then we're going to hear from Kill Matilda, who are also playing tonight. And also this weekend is OK Vancouver OK. Yes, Jeff Johnson is back with a brand new release, and that release show is this weekend. First up, here is Wise a Fool.
Was not
All right, that's Kill Matilda there with Fault Lines. You can find Kill Matilda playing tonight in Vancouver. That is at 838 Raymer Avenue, Iron Road Studios. I have to quickly wrap up here. And before that was Wiser Fool. They're playing tonight also at the Astoria. So you got a choice of two great rock bands. And then Saturday night, OK Vancouver OK are releasing their latest album. And you can catch them at 855 East Hastings and playing with Half Chinese and Loose Tights for the album Food, Shelter, Water album release and photographic exhibition. This is OK Vancouver OK. I've been Matt. We'll see you next time. African Rhythms up next.
Thursday, April 25th at UBC's Chan Center for the Performing Arts, it's Taj Mahal and Shamikia Copeland. Composer, multi-instrumentalist, and vocalist Taj Mahal is one of the most prominent and influential figures in late 20th century blues and roots music. His artistic scope represents virtually every corner of the world: West Africa, the Caribbean, Latin America, Europe, the Hawaiian Islands, and so much more. Shamikia Copeland is the daughter of blues legend Johnny Copeland. Her powerful voice is guaranteed to raise your spirits. Tickets are on sale at the Chan Center box office, High Life Records, and Rufus's Guitar Shop.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.